Well, that's right. Right here on WCRS, I am live with Congressman Tim Scott, soon to be Senator Tim Scott from the Low Country here. How are you doing, Congressman / Senator?
I am doing very well. I love the I Love Ann show, so it's good to be back on WCRS with you, Ann.
Oh,
how are you?
I'm good. I am just thrilled that you have succeeded Senator DeMint in this position. I know it's a huge responsibility, but what do you have to say about all of it, Tim?
Well, I think we should first give praise and honor to whom honor is due, and just thank Jim DeMint for all of his years of service, fantastic principled-centered leadership that he has provided for the state and for the nation. And sitting down talking with him, he's given me a lot of good advice, a lot of wisdom, and I hope to do my very best to honor his legacy of conservatism. And with that, I believe that's where we should get started, frankly. And Senator DeMint and I have had many conversations, and one of the conversations we've had is about the spending problem in Washington. How do we make sure that the American dream stays alive and well for the next generation? He gets to go to a place with the Heritage Foundation to continue to work to build a broader, stronger, more powerful conservative movement to make sure that that dream stays alive for all of us. And I look forward to putting my shoulder to the grindstone and working very hard to make sure that all of the people of South Carolina recognize that consistent conservatism is still the way forward.
Absolutely. But, you know, you're going into a Senate body here that you have been highly critical of because there's been no budget coming out of it. There's been nothing happening there. And how do you plan to make a difference in the Senate, Tim?
Well, I'm going to continue to work for those things that I work for in the House. There's no doubt that most good legislation, 30 job-creating bills that we passed last year in the House or the last session, went to the Senate, and they never even found the light of day. The Senate is very dysfunctional. There's no question about that. Senator DeMint was right. We must continue, however, to fight for those job-creating bills. We have to continue to fight for spending cuts. We have to make sure that we take a very clear and positive stand for the future. We do that through addressing the $16 trillion worth of debt that we have as a nation. We continue to address the fact that we're borrowing 42 cents on the dollar to spend it. We continue to address the fact that our president has a major spending problem supported by the Senate majority, and we have an opportunity to put in frame the message of conservatism versus out-of-control spending. And I believe that if we continue to communicate effectively, that the American people will turn our way and put us in a position where the Senate will have to start becoming more responsive. But it's a long road ahead of me, there's no doubt.
Well, you know, I think just yesterday, where did you stand on Plan B with Speaker Boehner?
Plan B was an opportunity for us to make some headway, and I was going to oppose it. I felt very strongly that we have not, as of yet, had the conversation about spending control. The House has already passed the Bush tax cuts for all Americans, extending it for another year. We have already acted on replacing the military cuts, military sequestration, four times. So what we realized, and what I believe crystallized last night, was the fact that we keep acting. We continue to keep taxes low for all Americans, and yet the Senate has done nothing. They passed no plan. They have no plan A, no plan B, and no plan C. So for us to continue to do something is to negotiate with ourselves. That's not a good position to be in. We've heard the proposals, but we've not seen a piece of legislation that articulates with specificity where the Senate wants to take the country. And so we decided that we've acted previously in good faith more than 6 months ago, and we're going to stand by what we've already done.
Well, the president, came out this morning or last night and said that he was willing to work to avoid the fiscal cliff. What do you say to that now?
Well, he said that on the campaign trail. He said that sequestration would not happen. We've not seen a proposal to avoid sequestration. He said that he would look at $3 worth of cuts for every dollar of new revenue. we haven't anything even close to that. The last proposal that we've seen has over $1 trillion of new revenue and less than $500 billion in spending cuts. So there's no question that he will say something, and we have not, to this date, seen the corresponding action to go along with what he says. So we're looking for an opportunity to avoid the cliff by having a spending conversation. How do we control our spending? How do we make sure that the next generation of seniors and this generation of seniors are able to rely on the promises made by this government? And you cannot consistently spend more than you have and honor your promises for the next few generations. It's not realistic. So we're trying to make sure that we save the notion of the American dream, that we strengthen the foundation of Social Security and Medicare, that we continue to work towards rebuilding our economy without sacrificing our very principles.
Well, that's, you know, Tim, that brings me to my next question. You know, here you are going into the Senate. Of course, in the House, you were one of 435. Now you're going to be one of 100. What do you think about the spirit of compromise with this group of senators here versus being, as you were all kind of called in the Congress there, the party of no?
Well, we were called the party of getting it done from my perspective. We were the House that actually passed bills on spending. We passed bills on spending cuts. We passed bills on creating jobs. We passed bills on replacing sequestration. The Senate, the do-nothing Senate, has yet to pass a budget in 3.5, going on 4 years. The Senate has yet to pass the 30 job-creating bills that we passed last year. The Senate has yet to deal with sequestration or the fiscal cliff. So philosophically, there is a House of no, but it has not been the House of Representatives.
So, but how do you feel going into the Senate you'll be able to keep your, will there be some compromise, Tim, or are you going to say we've got to put our shoulder to it and just keep going?
Well, I think there's an opportunity for common ground if folks like Pat Toomey, Tom Coburn, myself, Jeff Flake, Ted Cruz, Mike Lee, we have folks who are willing to find common ground on spending reform. The question is, how do we get America back on the right track? And what that takes, we should do. And we have yet to have a conversation about the $4 trillion budget nearly, with only $2.5 trillion of revenue. So if you've got $4 in spending and $2.5 in revenues, you can't tax your way out of the hole. So the definition of compromise is very important. The definition of principle-centered leadership is more important. And so we'll get to a place, I hope, where we first find common ground and common sense on spending reform, and that will help save our economic future.
Absolutely. Now, have you been looking at what committees you might be on? I know you were small business and transportation in the House, and of course you made great strides with some of your assemblies of business people and everything while you were in the House. What are you looking at in the Senate?
Well, the committee selection process will start for me probably from the low man on the totem pole. We've made some recommendations. We certainly have a passion for economic development. We hope that we continue to be in a position where we can articulate that goal of achieving a better economy. But we can do that no matter what committee we find ourselves on. So our focus is on our agenda, which is tax reform, spending controls, and making sure that we create more American jobs. We have a very, very fragile recovery, to use words loosely, recovery. We have an opportunity to have a robust recovery depending on the type of reform that happens with our tax code, regulatory reform, and if we do those two things, we can put millions of Americans back to work. And I think South Carolina is becoming a fantastic example all over our state, fantastic example of how to put people back to work.
You know, Tim, you have been, of course, down there in the Lowcountry, and now, of course, you're going to be covering the whole state. That's an awesome responsibility, sir.
I am looking forward to the opportunity. It is a responsibility. I believe the good Lord, in every responsibility and every obstacle, he gives you a real opportunity. So my goal is to win the confidence of the people throughout South Carolina by articulating the vision, voting consistently conservative, and being present throughout the state. So I look forward to perhaps being on the radio show next time live. I'll be in the upstate within the next few weeks.
All right.
And I look forward to serving you.
Absolutely. Now, one more question. The other day you were mentioning about the messaging of the future of the Republican Party and its ability to attract minorities. Of course, you being appointed as a minority, that was huge. But what about the change in the messaging of the Republican Party, Tim? How can they attract and be more open to all people?
Well, I think the most important thing we can do to attract more people is not to try to attract only a specific group of people. We don't need simply more minorities. What we need are people who believe in the philosophical position that we stand on. We need people of all hues that believe in the future of America through free markets, lower taxes, and less government spending. So if you're black or white, or red or brown, and you have a value system that is consistent with a conservative philosophy, we should communicate effectively with those folks our message. And if we do that, we will attract more minorities. We'll attract more of the majority. We'll attract more folks of more men and women. If we focus simply on finding minorities, I think that's not how America has become the greatest nation in the world today. We have become the greatest nation because we actually believe that we are better together and we can do that effectively.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree.
Thank you so much.
Listen, one more thing. I got to ask you this question. What do you think about the field that is opening up on all the people that are interested in your position?
Wow. That's what I think. You have a great day.
All right. Well, listen, Tim, I'll let you go. Merry Christmas. Thanks so much for calling me this morning, and God bless, and you are the right person for the job, in my opinion.
Thank you very much, and I will always be back on the I Love Ann Show.
Have a great
day, and Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Bye-bye.